From dining to living to wherever, we help give confused rooms new direction. This is the Confused Room Podcast.
Welcome to another episode of Confused Room. Tony and Jenny Bruschi joining you once again. Our creative juice this week, Nathaniel Rose. Michigan is where he is at, up by the Traverse City area. If you're ever up there, do go check him out. Artisanal winemaker. Really makes a lot of amazing stuff. We are drinking the Chelois this week, and it's great. 2 miles north of Sutton's Bay on M22 if you're up there. I have to say that specifically because he doesn't ship because of the fun wine laws we have here in our country. But if you're ever up in that beautiful area of the country, do check him out and let him know you heard about it, about him on our show, Confused Room. And he'll be like, oh my God, I know those guys. And maybe give you like a glass of wine or something. But really, really good stuff. Okay, so this episode of the show, we have a really interesting space to talk about.
Yeah.
This is a space that was sent into us, and I think we both went, huh, that looks remotely familiar.
It does. It looks like the first house we had together.
It does.
The footprint and the layout and everything, and you guys will see that here in a minute. Mm-hmm. But this, I think, is maybe more on the they're downsizing, but they want the bells and whistles. They just don't want the huge footprint. So instead of it being a starter home, which it was for us, this is more of a, I've got it just the way I want it kind of home.
Yeah. And I loved that house. It was the first house that we lived in together, first house ever purchased.
We were married in the backyard.
Yes, we were. And it was... it was a nice house.
I mean, it was
a cozy, it was smaller, but it was cozy. And, we had a lot of memories there, but this is literally the layout of the living room, right? When you walk in, we have a before picture up. If you're watching this right now, this would be you walk in, straight ahead's the kitchen. If you're familiar with very old episodes of my old program, which was The Taste Spot, several episodes filmed in a kitchen just like that.
Yeah.
Over on our Real Ghost Stories online page. That's the setup. I mean, to a T.
Yeah. So you see everything. You've got your kitchen, small dining, very informal dining, and living room, all from the front door. You can see all that. And then down a hallway, you have bedrooms.
Mm-hmm. And so the idea was, what do we do here? We want, like you said, we want the bells and whistles. We want something that's going to be nice. Mm-hmm. What can we do with this space? So I think we have a lot of ideas on what to do with this. Before we jump into those, I want to ask you, you want to make the most of any sort of space that you have. What's been the biggest challenge space that you have ever faced?
The biggest challenge space in any home, any place?
Any home, any place.
Oh, I will say our last house, the main living space upstairs, because you had to walk through the middle of it diagonally to get from one end of the house to the other, from the kitchen in to where the garage and laundry were, and over and the dining area over to where the bedrooms are. Walk straight through everybody's line of sight. There's a wall of windows on one side, and then there was a stairwell that went down right by the front door. There was really not a great place for the furniture layout.
Mm-hmm.
We shuffled the furniture around countless times, and then at Christmas, it was always a new experiment of where do we put the couch or where do we put the chair.
Mm-hmm.
That was probably my biggest headache because I was never quite ever satisfied with the layout on that.
Yeah. And it was funny because we were also many times shuffling like children's toys and jumpers. It was the age when Harp was really little.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, well, how do you incorporate all of this into this space? And it was kind of an odd layout. But we made it kind of work.
We made it work. It worked for 7 years.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Was that how long were we there? 7 years?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Wow.
I know. It was fast 7 years.
It was a fast 7 years. Yeah. I mean, I look back and I'm like, yeah. Wow. I don't even realize that. Biggest challenge. And you at that time were the one that was really doing a lot of the layout stuff. So it's hard for me to look back and say, here's my most challenging layout. for me, I would probably say it was one of my apartments in Oshkosh, Wisconsin, on Bowen Street. You walked in, nice, really kind of a neat entryway. They had some neat wainscoting in the apartment, which was like, ooh, this is fancy. Nice. And it was really an older, you know, probably after the war built apartment, big brick things. But the living room was just oddly laid out, and there really wasn't the way the wall kind of came out and the way you entered into the living space and where you put a television set and where there was a door to a patio. There was no logical space to put a couch
sure
anywhere unless it was just like a love seat. So it was like, where do you do this without you almost had to have it like a jar into the room. Mm-hmm. And I don't like doing that, but it's like I kind of had it at an angle. I think that's pretty much all I had it the whole time. It was a weird angle. Otherwise it was too far back or there wasn't enough space for it. It was always a mess.
And you know, what's funny is furniture has gotten larger over the years.
Yeah.
You know, you think of the formal couches that grandmothers mm-hmm. had, you know, unless they had a made extendedly long, yeah. like my grandmother did. Furniture was more petite than it is now. So that may have worked in the day that it was yeah. built, but not with, you know,
and I'm wondering,
90s furniture.
Because I'm guessing this is probably built like in the 50s or 60s, mm-hmm. the building itself. So, I mean, they did update it lovely. I was really happy with it. But it was, you know, as far as the actual layout goes, I don't think that was ever updated. They just structurally put some new drywall up, new carpet, new kitchen, new all that stuff.
Cosmetic, but no footprint changes.
The footprint was identical to what I think it always had been. Mm-hmm. And it just didn't make sense for much in terms of, you know, new furniture.
Sure.
That would probably be the most confusing space that I've ever had to deal with. So here we got essentially an opportunity to go back into what was our original living room.
Yeah.
And give it a redesign. So you want to go into yours? You want to say what you would do with yours? You want me to go to me first?
Why don't you do yours first?
Okay, here's my take on what I would do now with the living space that we had way back when. So here's my take on it. So for this space, I took out the odd kitchen divider wall that extended into the living space and separated the island and set it up with three bar height stools for sitting. Put a stovetop into the island and a clean looking vent hood that comes out of the ceiling and hovers above the range. Change the cabinet color to a distressed light green and accented the upper cabinet with some gray tones. Put a seaside copper chandelier above the workspace. I accented all the kitchen walls in white subway tile from floor to ceiling to give it a real bright, clean feel. Next to the workspace, I put in the dining table to seat four with a globe chandelier above it. On the wall, I put in a window mirror and two farmhouse globe lanterns for some added light and dimension. Into the living room open space, I put down a hand-woven ivory sea green area rug with a sectional against the corner wall. And a rustic coffee table for a fun, bright to accent look above it. I put the TV on the opposite side of the room and kept the entry area open and clean for coming and going.
I like how you made everything kind of focus around that island. Even the couch is kind of faced mm-hmm. to the island. And it's very good for entertaining. You know, for being able to keep everybody in on what's going on.
It was always an odd island space. Mm-hmm. The wall never really quite made sense to me as to why it was there. And I suppose that's on me too, because I did, it was a spec design, but I did build it.
Uh-huh.
And I suppose I could have said back in the building phase, take that wall out. But at the time I was also 24
sure.
and had no real
and it may have been structural and you might not have wanted the expense of adding in beams to hold that up.
It may be, and I may be unaware of that, but it was just always an odd wall placement and it really did divide the room up. But looking at this, I really like the idea of opening it up and having the opportunity to make it kind of a bar that faces out into the actual living space.
Yeah.
Because otherwise the bar, the island faced just straight into where the dining area is, which is a very small little inlet. And in theory, yes, you could put like a stool or something there. But at the same point, it was just so crowded. It didn't make any sense.
Right. And, you know, with this, it makes the it is a large room, but it makes it feel even larger without having that wall.
Yeah. I mean, it was just, it was odd. It worked really well for filming when I was doing the taste spot stuff because it almost, it really, it created a feel of its own room.
Sure.
But other than that, for functionality as a living space, I just, it didn't make a whole lot of sense.
No.
So that's what I would do with this living space.
Okay.
Any thoughts other than what I just presented as far as other things that you thought I would have liked better back in those days on that house?
Taller cabinets, because you kind of like your kitchen tools and stuff. Mm-hmm. And the cabinets could have gone higher because you didn't have a soffit or anything.
You're right, they could have.
Yeah. So I think that that would have been something we probably would have had to have added if we had stayed in that house.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're right. It was neat because right off of the door that goes out of the back, that patio, that's on this design, isn't it? The the patio door. It was a small little deck that I had out there. Just a small little square, like literally about the size of that opening. But it was tiny, and I had a little grill out there. We're watching fireworks out there.
And we would throw bread at the ducks.
Yes. That was always fun too. We these there was a little lake that was out there, a retaining pond, quote unquote.
That didn't retain anything.
No, it did not retain all so well. One day I was literally at work at the radio station. We had 8 inches of rain in the course of what, 4 hours or so in Wichita. And I get a call from a neighbor at the radio station going, "Hey, you're my neighbor, right?" I'm like, I where do you live? And they said, like, where it was. I'm like, yeah, I guess I'm your neighbor. Sure. And they're like, you might want to go home because there's water coming up to our windows. And the pond just backed right up. Good times.
Yeah.
Good times. Luckily, my windows did not break, but others were not so lucky. So it was a fun adventure in the house. It was a fun adventure. Want to do your room?
Sure.
Your take on it. Let's pull it up right here. And here you go.
What I did, I actually left the wall divider between the living space and the dining and kitchen space. I made a new focal point. I felt like they're probably going to watch TV, so let's make a fireplace with a TV above it. With the kitchen space, the footprint wasn't going to change, so I added cabinetry that went all the way to the ceiling with actually a second set of cabinetry that could be backlit if you wanted, that had glass doors. The dining space stayed the same, updated with some fun colors. I went with mostly teals and rust colors, accented with white cabinetry. Left the couch pretty much in the same position facing the wall that has the TV and the fireplace, but added some built-in, so there is a little bit more storage there.
It's a nice space. I like the colors that you used. Very warm. I like the accent between the orange-ish kind of, how would you describe it?
It's a rust color. So it's
rust.
Kind of like a burnt orange.
It's like what we had actually in the bathroom.
It is.
Which was right down that hall where that door is.
And that's why I used it, because I thought of that.
Yeah. It was a warm color.
Mm-hmm.
It really was. And I really like your built-ins there with the fireplace, which would be an electric fireplace.
Sure.
For this, but you really made it feel like a neat built-in. I mean, it's reminiscent of actually the last house we had, not this house that we had.
Yes.
But it has kind of the built-in space and the mirrors and the colors. I love the colors you are using.
Thank you.
And I mean, colors have been a thing. We've talked about this before where, you said to me, you're doing all the colors from now on, but then you've been diving into the colors like head first the last couple of weeks. And I've been really impressed with some of the ones you're picking out going, that's a great color. I'm like, I'm the color person. Damn it. I should have picked that.
Well, it really bothered me that you were better at an aspect of home design than I was. So I thought I better step my game up. But no, honestly, I had always played it safe, which was the kind of predicament I got us into in this house, was always playing it safe and what, you know, what is expected of the house that you're in. And I'm throwing all that out the window. You've inspired me to go bolder with colors, so that's why I've been actively repainting every room in this house. But I like that I can try on colors on this.
Yeah.
And so I really liked the rust and the teal together. I would actually consider using that in one of our spaces, but I'm not sure which one.
You know, it's funny. That's something where if you look at the color palettes at the store and you or the swatches at the store, and you're like, this and this together, I don't
get it.
But when you play with it, on the design software, and you go, oh, God, that's nice.
Yeah.
That really works well.
Those people that the paint companies know what they're doing, you know, when they put the colors together.
Well, I mean, yes, they do, but I don't think you're ever going to see that on a swatch together.
No, no. I mean, sometimes you're lucky if you get a room and it's got, you know, the wall color and the trim color and it's listed. And it still doesn't look quite right because it is CGI on the car. It's like, I don't know.
You
can't get a real feel. But I like being able to try things out on this so that I don't have to think, oh, well, it's got to be either beige or gray. And I left the wall because I think walls coming back are going to be a thing.
Walls coming back. What do you mean?
I mean, open floor plans are not going to be quite so open anymore in the future. I think people are realizing, especially moms and maybe some dads, it's a lot harder to live with an open floor plan than you think. You think, oh, this will be great. We'll all be together. So are all your stuff and all your mess. And maybe mom wants to go sit on the couch and watch a show with dad before she cleans the kitchen. But every time she looks over, all she sees are dirty dishes that she feels like she should be cleaning. Kids leave their stuff places. There's no, oh, I'm just going to close the door when we have friends come over and nobody's going to look in that room. Then none of that happens when you have the open floor plan.
No, you're exactly right.
I think a little bit of space is a good thing.
I do too. It almost becomes almost like a galley type kitchen with the design that we have here.
Right.
With the way that wall lays out. I love the color. I really think it's neat. It makes me like a... Oh.
Where could we do that?
Where can we do this? Let's just go buy that house again and not live in it and just design it and then just walk away and then watch it flood.
Not fun. No.
I'm kidding. Biggest fail on a project that you thought would work out great. Jenny, go.
Oh. Well, the peeling skin on my hands reminds me of what I just did, but
that wasn't a failing project. That was just a misguided on the safety steps on the project.
I block out the failures. What do you think it is?
I don't know. I don't think we've really had a ton of standout fails.
There was one where I tried painting some tile that was a surround on a fireplace because I painted the range hood, which was wood, to look like antique copper, and it turned out great. Everybody that came into the house wanted to touch it because they didn't believe that it wasn't copper. And I'm not bad at faux finishing, if I say so myself. And so I was really proud of that, and I thought, well, what if I make these tiles look like this is a copper surround on the fireplace? And I probably didn't use the right type of primer because it just peeled right off. And it wasn't even the heat. We weren't running the fireplace. This was like in June, and it just didn't stick. So we ended up ripping that out and putting in a faux stone, which ended up being much better. But that was a massive fail, and I felt stupid.
I remember that. Yeah. And it was probably just a matter of right product for the right type of stone. And we had the direction to what we should be putting on that, it probably would have turned out fine.
That's about 4 years ago, though. I've learned a lot about what kind of primer to use, and there's a primer for everything.
Yeah.
So ask before you paint and before you buy a primer, is this the right primer for this application?
I actually have a better one.
Okay.
And this is one, and I don't know how this is done correctly to this day. I'll honestly say I've not researched it, so I can't say I'm an expert on this by any means, but I know you had done a little bit of research on it, and this was a couple years ago, where you had seen something where paint literally had been used, and correct me if I'm describing this wrong, because I'm not trying to, paint was used on fabric of a chair. To change the color of the fabric. And at first I'm like, well, that's odd. But maybe there's a product now that works with. So what happened there? I guess it'd be, I'm not trying to be like, look at Jenny's fails.
No.
Because there's very few of them that even come to mind, but you do so many projects and out of 100, maybe 2 are like, oh God, but that's a pretty good batting average.
Well, we had some chairs that we found at a yard sale and we mm-hmm. really liked them, but we didn't like necessarily the pattern. We liked the shape and how they felt. I had seen on one of the predominantly well-known chalk painting websites, mm-hmm. the actual lady, I'm not going to say her name, but the lady.
Slammer.
Slammer?
No, I'm not.
The lady that the chalk paint is named after, and I'm sure most of us can figure out who that is, actually painted
chalk paint lady.
A fabric chair with her product. So I thought, well, that's neat. And it didn't look, she said it doesn't get stiff or anything. So I'm going to try that. Okay, well, she did like a little accent chair that had like an upholstered seat. I'm doing a whole big club chair that's fully upholstered.
So this was an accent seat, like a cushion almost?
On the one she did, but it was still fabric.
Okay.
So, and it was on the seat part too. So I thought, well, people are going to sit on that. This must be a tried process.
Yeah.
No, chalk paint will not do a good job adhering to fabric. And covering it. And then I know there are some sprays that you can supposedly use to make fabric paint or make paint fabric acceptable. I don't know. It's like a medium kind of
acceptable
thing.
Is that what we really want with fabric? This is acceptable?
No. But this is a lot cheaper than reupholstering.
Yeah. It's just I don't understand how that would ever work.
I know. And so I thought I'd try it, and we flipped that cushion over real fast. But I would love to know if anybody has had luck how to do that, because it's always good to know these things, because I'm not planning on doing that again, but you never know when I will get a wild hair. So mm-hmm. I would love to know if somebody knows how to make that happen.
Well, it's one of those things where it's you'll – You do much more research on this than I do of any sort of design things. And there's ideas you'll tell me and I'll be like, oh, I've never heard of that. And I'm just kind of like, okay, I'm better than I used to be.
You're very trusting.
And I'm like, okay, well, let's see what happens. And most of them, I am blown away by going, oh, that's awesome. I never thought it could work like that. And like I said, like maybe 2 out of 100 will be the chalk painted chair.
Yeah.
But I you have to be willing to go down those roads to at least explore them, because sometimes you're going to be very surprised by things you didn't know could be done. And I'm still, if this is really a thing, how is it done correctly? I guess that's where I'm at.
And that I don't know. Mm-hmm. And I've been too chicken to sacrifice another piece of furniture to find out.
Yeah.
But I will say I still love chalk paint and use it for hard surfaces, but I would not, at least the way I did, I would not advise just painting it on there.
So don't say the chalk paint lady's name.
Okay.
But this is like a well-known national brand?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. You can YouTube a video of her doing this and like, it's amazing. Okay.
What are the comments?
I don't know.
Like, the F are you talking about? This does not work. Are you insane?
I don't know what the comments were back then. No. But
Pauline chalk paint. That's what it is, isn't it?
Basically. Same thing.
It's not Paula Deen.
No, it's not.
Does she have a chalk paint line?
She does not.
Okay.
I don't think she has much of anything anymore.
Okay. I don't know.
So.
Oh, there you go. Interesting question.
But has anybody come up with a way to paint furniture using chalk
paint? I don't think anyone has even thought of the idea. So, but yeah, it was somewhat of a thing, or to someone it is. Yeah. So anyway, interesting stuff.
I'll show you the video later.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'd like to watch that. All right. Next week on the show, we have we'll get to show you the damage that was done to our fingers and what came out of that project. And,
I'll be healed by
and
then.
And why it was worth it. Yes, she'll be healed. Healed. You will be.
It's been fun saying my wounds.
She's been saying it all week. I wake up every day and she's like, I'm like, how you doing, honey, this morning? My wounds are healing my husband. Please walk me to the bathroom. She has an English accent. It's really weird. But
I'm suddenly the English patient.
Actually, no, she doesn't at all. I'm like, hi, honey, I love you. Hi, love you, bye. That's kind of how it works. Next week, big fireplace project. We'll show you how we did that. Incorrectly, technically, with the mortaring, but how you can do it correctly and not burn your hands.
Right.
It's really just one step that we did incorrectly. So check it out next week here on the program. Until then, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thank you for watching another episode of Confused Room. Please press subscribe on our feed, wherever you're watching the podcast. Give us some stars. All that helps us very much in the rankings. So for Jenny, I'm Tony. Thanks for watching Confused Room. Have a good one. Bye-bye.